Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Tune in and we start using the mind to think about what can I do that nobody else has ever done in this field or in life. We start asking new questions. We start opening things up for ourselves. Then what it takes is courage. We have to develop courage once we get those answers to take it to the next level, right? We can see things we've never been able to see. We can do things we've never been able to do, but courage is the bridge. Courage is the bridge from fear to faith, from poverty to wealth, from unhappiness to happiness. Courage is the bridge there. So when you tune into your courage, you start to take steps that will take your life to a completely new level.
Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust also that you enjoyed my conversations with Mark Halpert, LinkedIn branding expert, and with Dr. Catherine Lloyd, the founder and director of Maverick Minds. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Ken D. Foster, who is a best-selling author, and he's been featured in hundreds of radio shows, webinars, and TV networks, as well as on the cover of Triathlon magazine and many other publications. He's a powerful and compelling guest who brings more than 35 years of expertise in personal transformation and business development. Ken has developed science-based, highly practical solutions for stimulating human potential in companies or individuals. He's also a syndicated radio show host of the Voices of Courage show, which is heard on over 100 stations in over 100 countries. His latest book, The Courage to Change Everything, can help you to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, that's InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal client. That requires absolute clarity about who your ideal clients are and how you can help them. To help you get that clarity about your ideal client, take a look at our Marketing Master Mini Class, where in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. Access the Marketing Master Mini Class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Ted talked to me about what is your natural state of greatness and how you can tap into this inner genius. He explained how to build habits to make changes that will have you do new things you previously might have thought impossible. And he described the importance of introspection and asking yourself new and valuable questions and then answering them honestly. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Ken Foster. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from San Marcos in California. Now, I believe that's near San Diego in the USA, Ken Foster, who's a visionary, a business strategist, a best-selling author. He's also a syndicated radio host of the Voices of Courage show. So welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Ken. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
Thanks so much, Jürgen. I'm really looking forward to this interview. It's always good to have a fellow podcaster interview another one. So this would be really good.
Yeah. Now, your most recent book is The Courage to Change Everything, and it's focused on providing strategies and wisdom to transform the reader's life in small steps, in one day at a time. And you say that the book helps everyone step into their natural state of greatness and maximize their full potential by developing habits that can be developed in as little as 10 minutes a day. So it's kind of a daily roadmap to make those changes. But before we start talking about all things greatness and maximizing your potential and making changes, give us a little bit of background and context. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the big moments in that journey?
Well, where I got to where I am today, I'm not sure where I am yet, but I'm at a place where I feel I've got a lot of wealth in my life. I've got a great family life. I've got extreme health. I'm a triathlete. And I'm got great friendships, have a balanced life, a balanced health, and my body is pain-free at my age. So I'm doing a few things right. And how I got there is by learning doing a lot of things wrong. So it started for me, I think it was a wake-up call somewhere around 1992 when I was in therapy at the time. And I was hearing this little voice that said, you got to feel the pain to make the change. And I went in and talked to the therapist. I said, what is this voice I'm hearing? And he was a great guy. I'd been with him for about a year. And he looked at me and he said, Ken, I can't do anything more for you. You need to follow that voice. And as I walked out of the office thinking, am I crazy or is this guy nuts? I mean, what do you mean I got to follow this voice? But at some level, I knew that was true. And I realized that that voice was that inner voice of courage, that inner voice of strength, that inner voice of wisdom that would really get me to the next level. And it was shortly after that I learned how to still my mind, go deep into meditation, and start to really realize who I was, what I was about, and what I could actually bring into this world. So that's kind of where I started from. Yeah.
That's fascinating. So when you talked about that inner voice, how did you clarify what the message was there to take some steps to make changes?
Well, I really looked at what wasn't working in my life at the time. And at the time, I was estranged from my children. I was living in a city I didn't want to live in. I was surrounding myself by friends that I thought were kind of lower companions at the time. I had make a lot of money. I was running a $200 million operation that in the financial service industries that I had helped start from scratch, but I was also spending every dime. And so I realized that I really need to make some big changes. Also, I was about 50 pounds more than what I weigh today. So I realized that there were a lot of things not working. I also realized that if I continued down that path, that path led to a lot of disease, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and also probably financially bankrupt and a whole bunch of places I didn't want to go. So I just stopped and I started to ask myself, what's working, what's not working, and what can I do to improve today? And I did that on a consistent basis. I started reading everything I could possibly read about the human spirit, what makes us tick, what brings success? How do we tune into ourselves at higher levels of consciousness? How do we increase our frequency and our vibration? So I was very much an open mind at that time to really be able to understand what is truth and where does it come from and how do I apply it in my life and can my life get better if I do apply it?
That's fascinating. Yeah, so I'm interested then, you talk about, the book, The Courage to Change Everything, I've got a whole bunch of questions around that, but it's a roadmap and it kind of starts off with, okay, day one, ask yourself three questions. And it's a lot around self-reflection, which is the process you've really just described that you went through as well, the self-reflection around what's working, what's not working, and where do we make changes in what's not working. So is the book kind of a reflection of your journey?
It's definitely a reflection of the journey. This book is my seventh book and my third hardback. And it is a book that I spent a lot of time contemplating and a lot of time asking is the advice that I'm giving in this book, would this be advice that individuals could actually apply to reprogram their thinking the same way I did? You know, when I started, I had this stinking thinking. I was making a lot of very poor choices on a consistent basis. And worse than that, I didn't realize I was making poor choices. I thought I was going down a path that would create me more happiness and more joy. But once I started to get some feedback from others, I joined some groups that helped me to get personal feedback. And once I started to quiet my mind and read things like Leonardo da Vinci would tell us, Jürgen, that isolation is the price of greatness. And then I came across it again from a yogi from the East, a guy by the name of Paramahansa Yogananda. And he said, isolation is the price of greatness. I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean to be isolated? And I realized that it was just really a simple way of saying, spend time with yourself, be in nature, quiet the mind, quiet your thoughts. The thoughts are just thoughts. They're nothing else. I can choose thoughts that are disempowering. I can choose thoughts that would empower me. I can make choices that'll take me to my dreams. I can make choices that'll stop me dead on my tracks. So I had to start to really understand how to master my mind, to be able to master my emotions. And once I mastered the emotions, then I could master my results, and therefore I could master my actions and my destiny.
Hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating. And I'm always amazed. A lot of the wonderful guests I speak to in some form or other talk about this self-awareness thing as being really key. And you've encapsulated it really well there in terms of how it all ties together, you know, in terms of understanding your own thoughts and understanding the choices you have to think whatever it is you want to think, and therefore to manifest the results that you get.
Well, for me, it all starts in the mind, and I've learned that the mind is the cause of our bondage, and the mind is the cause of our liberation. So when we get in tune and we realize that there are areas that we are stuck, for instance, or we're stressed out, or we're feeling pain in our body, or we have relationships that aren't working, or we have a business partner that we can't seem to get to do what we want to do, or we have a business that's maybe creating a lot of wealth, but it's also generating a lot of pollution in the environment. You know, what do we do with that? What do we do? And how do we improve? I had a friend of mine, his name is John Foley. And John was the lead pilot and teacher for the Blue Angels flying team. And John said that, you know, that when they're flying at 500 miles an hour towards each other, and they're going to pass by each other at just a few feet, he said, you know, it takes a lot of trust. And of course, it takes courage. He said, but the real work starts on the ground after we do the fly. And he said, the real work is the feedback that each person gets. And they ask those exact questions. What's working? What's not working? What can we improve upon? What did we not see that we need to see? What do we need to know to take it to the next level? So they really do an introspective feedback time so that things can continue to improve, and they continue to improve, and they continue to grow. And that's what I do every day. And that's what the book's about. That's what the book's about. You know, the book itself, I thought a lot about that book, like I said. But one of the things I thought is, I knew I wanted to write a book that had the astute wisdom from the East, from the India, and from some of the other countries, Tibet and China, and you know, some of the real astute wisdom they had there. And I also wanted to bring in the cutting edge wealth strategies from the West, and I wanted to blend them in a way that we could drip on our minds maybe 10 minutes a day, because I figured nobody's much reading 400 pages books anymore because they don't have a lot of time. But everybody has 10 minutes, that, and especially 10 minutes to rethink, to reprogram your thinking, to be able to ask some focused questions, plan out your day, and take strategic actions every day. Imagine doing that every single day. Your life cannot help but get better.
Yeah. Yeah. What I particularly love about that approach is it's kind of a, like you said, it's a roadmap for change, but it builds a new habit. And it builds a new habit that, you know, people that are planners, like I'm very much a planner, is actually very easy to integrate into your life, because that 10 minutes can easily be absorbed into your planning routine. And it just means a little bit of an adaptation of your planning routine. So it's not actually finding another 10 minutes or whatever in your day. It's actually making a slight change in something that perhaps people are already doing.
That's a good point. And I'm a meditator, so I integrate it every day. After I meditate for a little while, then I break out my book and I break out a journal, and I'm committed to every day this year, I'm going through this book. Last year, I went through another book, another daily guide. And this year, I'm so happy to go through this one. So, yeah, you're right. We just integrate it in what we're already doing. And for planners, for people that aren't necessarily planners, it's a great discipline. And I believe this, that the more we can have discipline in our lives, the easier our lives get. And it's just really that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people argue that we're creative, or, I mean, that's one I've heard, we're creative, so discipline doesn't work for us. But my argument is always, well, you know, we're all disciplined because we all, you know, we all have a routine, when what time we go to bed and go to sleep, what time we wake up, what time we eat, what time we shower, and whatever that might be. You know, there's whatever activities you're involved in, there's a routine involved in that. So, and there's a discipline to keep that routine.
It's a routine, or it's our habit. It's, you know, here's what I tell people. I say, you know, if you don't think you really have routines, go and take a shower and start washing with the opposite hand. Yeah. Start doing everything opposite that you normally do and see what that feels like to you. You'll soon learn, you know. In fact, it's a good thing to do that anyway, because that's not thinking. When we are like driving our cars, or we're taking a shower, or maybe you're walking out, you're really not thinking. You know, you're just running on a habit. And so real thinking is almost a lost art for some folks. So we do have to discipline ourselves to be able to take some time, go within, and really contemplate or ponder or ask new questions. And once we do, what happens is we start to see things that are unseeable to us in that moment. We change our points of view. We change our perspectives. We start to know things that we've never known before. And we start to be able to do things that we've never been able to do before, all because we took the time to quiet our thoughts and to drip on our minds some new wisdom, and then take some specific actions around that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Well, one of the things I was really curious about, the title of the book, you say The Courage to Change Everything. And I guess my immediate question was, why change everything? and so how did the title come about in that sense?
Well, the title came about because I learned that when I change one thing, everything seems to change. So, for instance, I've gone on a diet before where I cut out red meat. When I cut out the red meat from my diet, my mind went crazy. What am I going to eat now? And I started looking at the grocery stores and everywhere. I made the commitment to do it. Now what do I do? And literally, I started changing what I ate, how I ate it, when I ate it, with who I ate. Everything seemed to change from one decision. So I kind of noticed that. And then I noticed that in a lot of different areas of my life. So if I, let's say I go out and decided to buy a new house, all of a sudden I realized that I've changed the location, the environment where I am. Now I walk into that new house and none of my furniture seems to want to fit in that new house. Even if it does, my wife wants to get something new anyway. Yeah. So now we're changing everything in the environment, right? So if you change one thing, you're going to change a whole bunch of things. So, but here's the thing that I say, change something that would better your life, whatever that is. We all know what we pretty much know what we need to change. I mean, I've been coaching for people for about 25 years now. And so when I ask them, so tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your life? Well, my life's a 7. Well, what do you think you need to change to take it to a 10? And inevitably, most people can give me 3 or 4 steps that can help them do that. What we don't realize that we need to change is our mindset, is our beliefs. And if we can change at the core, if we can model other people's successful beliefs, we can incorporate a belief inside of ourselves. That belief, one little belief, will change just about anything in our life. For instance, here's a great belief to take on. Let go of the belief that you get tired. Just let it out of your life. Don't use tired. Don't use that concept anymore. You might use the concept that the body needs a rest. But a lot of times when we say, I'm tired, it's a mind thing. It's a mental thing. And now we focus on that. And now we feel in our body. So if you just change up one little thing, what's going to happen? You're going to have more energy. It's very interesting. Change up one thing, it'll change everything.
Yeah, that's a great example. And even the idea of saying I'm tired, it's almost an identity thing, right? So unconsciously you're holding on to that identity, and
my new therefore identity, tired.
Yeah. and therefore everything kind of falls into place. The body almost takes it as an instruction.
It does take it as an instruction. And if you do it over and over and over again, you say that over and over and over again. As soon as you say it, now your body feels it. So whatever you focus on, you feel, right?
Yeah.
So focus on, well, instead of, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I have a success habit. I do habits that like work. So I open my eyes. Many times I go to gratitude, but I always go to this. I say, I'm alert and ready. I'm alert and ready. Boom. I'm alert and ready. Now, try that in the morning. Your first thing, your thoughts would be like, oh, I'm not alert to anything. I'm not. I want to go back to sleep. But if you keep doing it, you create a habit. You start popping out of bed. You start waking up. And as soon as you say, I'm alert and ready, that's your signal to get out of bed. So don't say it until you're ready. But, you can lay there like a cat and got to move around and just take your time to wake up. But then when you say it, boom. If you do that, you create a success habit and you'll wake up and you'll feel energized in the moment.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I've felt that quite a bit. I mean, this last winter has been, I get out and cycle every morning, or I try to get out every morning. And this last winter, I've gotten a little bit off the wagon in terms of waking up and thinking I can hear rain on the roof and, oh, it's really cold. I'll just cuddle up in under the doona. And it was like, it's cold, I feel tired. And they were the thoughts going through my head. And of course, after a few weeks of that, my fitness dropped quite dramatically. And when I then did go out on the bike, it hurt a lot more. So it was a vicious cycle. And now I've gotten back into the habit of, no, get out, I'm ready. You know, it's time to hit the road. And it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. And, you know, I think that particular habit, because I'm a writer too, helps us so that we don't have pain in our bodies. Like you said, if you don't exercise for a while, the muscles start to atrophy. And if you get, and then you start up to go do something you want to do, and now you're tired, you're hurting, you're pain in your body, whatever you're telling yourself, you know, it's not that great of experience. So one of the things that I changed up was just that. When I was 42, I committed to exercising the rest of my life. And I committed that because I wanted to feel vital and healthy and fit and not have pain in the body. And I'd seen so many people in my family that had grown big and obese and were sedentary, and they had a lot of pain. They had arthritis. They had diseases in their body. I went, that's not the path I'm choosing to follow. So I made a conscious choice to change everything at that moment. And it took time. I didn't do it all at once. I started walking, then I started running, then I started biking, then I started swimming again. And then I started skiing again. I started doing a lot of activity. But that's what we can do when we drip that new consciousness on our brain every day.
Hmm. Now, one of the terms you use in the book is your natural state of greatness. And I'm curious, what do you mean by that?
Well, all of us are born with as a genius, all of us. And I believe that environment and programming and abuse and a whole bunch of strange beliefs that we're socialized into dull us down. I definitely was a product of the system, and had great parents, loved my parents, went to a Catholic school, got that programming, went on to a high school, a parochial high school, got that programming. And, you know, by the time I was in college, I was pretty shut down as a kid. Fortunately, I had some great professors that opened up the possibility of what is possible if we let go of some of the programmed ways of showing up in life. So here's what I mean by that, though. You know, we all are souls. We're individual souls in my world. And the soul itself is perfect. And the soul gets kind of like a rust over the soul. And what is that rust? Well, that rust is those beliefs, those areas that maybe we've been harmed or hurt. We haven't forgiven. There's no forgiveness. We've got wrong thinking going on. And when we start to let all of that go, we start to tune into our inner wisdom. We start to realize that within all of us is brilliance. My brilliance is probably different than your brilliance or the next person's brilliance, but we all have it. We all have strengths that when we focus on those can bring greatness into the world. And, you know, it's amazing when we start to realize that we are limitless in if we tune into our own, we tune into stillness. I think that's where it all starts. Tune into stillness. We get still, and all of a sudden we start to realize that there's a lot more in us than we ever thought possible. That's where it comes from me. It just comes in this place of stillness. And I get these little downloads that say, go left, go right, go do this, go do that. And when I pay attention to that little voice, I call it the voice of intuition, right? It's something we all have, but most of us are not, we don't have it developed. We might have a gut instinct to do something here or there, but most of us don't have intuition developed. But when we start to fully develop it, our greatness comes out.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point. The taking time to be still and reflect on the thoughts, because there's stuff going on all the time, but we just kind of let it sink in the noise, if you like. When you consider that, you know, we're breathing, our heart's beating, pumping blood around, supplying oxygen to every physical organ in the body, and all of that's happening without us actually thinking about it. And so there must be other stuff going on. And if you take time and be still, then, you know, and reflect on that, there's probably things that you can learn that you're not aware of consciously.
Well, there is. And it's like most people see the sun and we see a big yellow blob in the sky. But if you use a spectroscope to see the sun, you'll see seven different colors coming off the sun. Most of us aren't tuned in to listen to the picture of the TV picture that is the vibration that's all around us right now, of TV, of radio, of a lot of different vibration that is all here, all around us right now, but we're not tuned into that. Can we hear that? Can we tune in? Well, I don't know about the radio and the picture, but I can tell you this. If we tune into thoughts that are powerful, that tell us that we're magnificent, we're more powerful than, we're powerful beyond measure. If we tune into thoughts that everything's okay, we're going to work, everything will work out today. Today, I'm going to take 3 action steps that are going to take my life to the next level. We ask questions like that, or we ask a question, if I were very courageous today, what would I do differently? We tune in and we start using the mind to think about what can I do that nobody else has ever done in this field or in life. We start asking new questions. We start opening things up for ourselves. Then what it takes is courage. We have to develop courage once we get those answers to take it to the next level, right? We can see things we've never been able to see. We can do things we've never able to do, but courage is the bridge. Courage is the bridge from fear to faith, from poverty to wealth, from unhappiness to happiness. Courage is the bridge there. So when you tune into your courage, you start to take steps that will take your life to a completely new level. That's been my experience over the last 25 years, not only with myself, with thousands of clients that I've helped through their process. And most of the time, it's a matter of just getting in touch with what are those thoughts that are holding you back? And what are the thoughts that you would need to start focusing on so that you could feel differently, you'd feel better, have more energy, have more pizzazz in your life so you can start to do what you want to do.
Yeah. So what's the step? So for me, there's in what you're saying there, there's kind of a couple of things. It's the self-awareness part and tuning into the thoughts and ideas and asking better questions and defining some steps you can take to make changes. But what's the big thing there to then have the courage to take the action?
Well, let's talk about courage. Yeah. Where does courage come from? What is that? Courage is an energy. It's a force. A lot of us can know. We know what fear feels like, right? When you're fearful, you feel what? Maybe anxious. Your heart starts palpitating. Maybe the mind gets a little dull, right? Because you're stressed out. So everybody knows what fear feels like. Do we know what courage feels like? See, courage is almost the opposite of that. Courage feels expansive. Courage has a sense of I can do it. Courage is a feeling of everything's okay. I'm taking this courageous act. So courage, when we have those thoughts, we have this feeling of goodness in us. I mean, it feels like you're in the zone. That's how it feels like to me. When I'm in courage, I'm in the zone. And I might be riding my bike, right? It takes courage to go, let's say, 35 miles an hour, and you're tracking somebody 6 inches away from their tire, and you got a Peloton going, and you know it takes courage to do that. But eventually, everybody gets in the zone, and everything's just flowing. That takes courage to get there, and that's what it feels like. So, how do we develop courage? Well, develop courage by doing things that are uncomfortable on a consistent basis. I personally spend a lot of time outside of my comfort zone, and I've learned to do that. And so the uncomfortable zone has now become my comfort zone. And when you can do that on a consistent basis, you accomplish things that most people don't accomplish only because they haven't figured out that it's okay to feel uncomfortable on a consistent basis. Because what happens is if you do that, you seem to get it all. Everything starts happening. You know, I could be feeling uncomfortable talking to my wife about a subject, but I know I need to talk with her or my business partner. Or I might feel uncomfortable going out when it's cold outside. But when I get out there and I get on a bike or I go for a jog, all of a sudden at the end of that, I feel really good. And the rest of my day is set up. So we do have to stay outside of that comfort zone, and courage helps us to do that. So it's just like, how do you develop courage? Well, one of the ways you do it is you read this book on a consistent basis. And by the way, I did want to tell them, Jürgen, that they can get it at courage2change.us. Courage2, either way, get you there. Courage2change.us. And I do have about $900 worth of bonuses when people buy the book on my website, buy the hardback. They can also get it on Amazon, but they won't get the bonuses.
All right. Well, that's great. We'll have those links in the show notes, of course. But you've described a process there there's two things, I suppose, is making those small changes to habits on a consistent basis every day, as you've outlined in your book, The Courage to Change Everything, that develops the courage. And the other thing, I mean, it occurred to me that the secret is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's kind of the process that you go through in some ways in the book.
It is. And, you know, when I think about that, I think, you know, some people have habits that they want to break. Let's say it's a habit of watching TV too much, or being on the internet too much, or being on FaceTime too much, or and you want to break that habit. Well, it's going to feel uncomfortable to do that. You're going to have to get uncomfortable, because what's going to happen, you're going to sit down, and the first time that you let go of the, let's say the TV, your mind's going to go, well, what do I do now? I want to watch my favorite show. I want to do that. You're going to have to be uncomfortable with that for a moment, and then come up with something new to replace it, right? Something new, success habit to replace that. And it's kind of funny, you know, we make it so hard to change, and we put the biggest challenge to change is resistance, right? The energy of resistance. So if you can realize that you're probably going to be resistant, it's okay to, you know, but you have to acknowledge that resistance is there, because if you don't, that resistance will probably just keep you where you are. So for me, when I have people read the book, I say, you're going to meet resistance in the book. You're going to read something and you're going to all of a sudden think, oh, that's not right. It's wrong. And I don't do it this way. And I would challenge you, and I do challenge you, to be with that, because that's probably the area you're going to have the breakthrough in. You got to get out that comfort zone, okay? Because the comfort zone says, I already know it all. But here's the problem. Your greatest thinking has got you where you are. Now, listen, even if you're a high achiever, even if you're somebody that's accomplished a whole bunch in your life, you're doing great, you haven't reached your full potential, I can guarantee it. So if you haven't reached it, then you might look at that resistance and say, okay, maybe I'll acknowledge it, and maybe I will just allow myself to be with that and ask myself, where's that resistance coming from? When you can answer that question, you can usually break through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, and again, it comes back a lot to self-awareness and asking some really good questions. And I think there's a level of self-honesty there, isn't there? Because it's like, if, you know, in the example you gave, watching the TV, or I think dieting is another really good one, because, you know, there's snacks in the fridge, and whilst I, you know, I've got to count my calories, there's that snack in the fridge and I feel like tasting it right now. And so there's a resistance to stick to the diet, and how do you then, you know, really honestly assess your own thinking in terms of, why am I so resistant to sticking to the diet and saying I'm not going to have that snack now?
That's a really good one. I think with resistance comes purpose. Okay, so if you want to blow through your resistance, I believe you need to really get clear and have a strong purpose for doing what you're doing. So, you know, for dieting, a lot of times people say, I'm just going to go on a diet. I have my New Year's resolution, and I'm going to do this because I want to lose weight. And that's fine. But if that's not a deep enough purpose, a lot of times it's just you're not going to stick with it. You got to really tune in and do the inner work. And so the purpose might be to lose weight. Well, I want to be there for my children. I want to not be in pain when I'm in my 70s. I want to be free of the addictions that food can bring on. I want to just have freedom in my life. So you have to take a little deeper dive when you are hitting that resistance. You know, and actually, you should do it before you hit the resistance. Yeah. Because resistance is always going to be there. I don't care what you do. There's going to be resistance.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to be uncomfortable with it in our comfort zone, like we talked earlier. And then blow through that resistance. Let me ask you one question, because this is what I believe breaks through a lot of my resistance when I remember it. I ask the question, would an infinite, all-powerful being be able to break through whatever the resistance is? So I just want to remind myself of who I believe I am. And maybe you don't believe that for you. That's okay. But that's who I know I am. And I ask myself that. And the answer is always no. I would be able to blow through that. Yeah. And I just have to remember that. Because inside of all of us is greatness. And inside of all of us is brilliance. And inside of all of us is resilience and a power, a willpower that's so far beyond what we can even imagine. Unless you want to imagine it. And if you do, you got to break through your resistance.
Yeah, that's a great message. And I think one of the things, I mean, it you gave some examples there in terms of the why in that dieting example. And one of the things that struck me was that all of the examples you gave were kind of towards motivated things. So I want to be healthy in my 70s. I want to be pain free. Well, that's a little bit away from, but it's still looking forward rather than looking back and saying, well, I'm currently whatever weight and I want to lose 10 pounds.
Well, listen, we create our future in the present moment. The future is created in the present. The future is not created in the future. The future is created right here. So if you want to feel vibrant and healthy and have an amazing life in the future, you have to make your commitments and tune into that why. I think there's, for me, it's intention, tuning into the steps for me. Intention, what is my intention? To lose weight, for instance. My why, get clear with why am I doing this? Why am I really doing this? Third piece for me is what am I willing to give or give up to accomplish it? What am I willing to give up? Well, maybe I have to give up some weird thinking. Maybe I have to give up some friendships that are eating, you know, massive amounts of food. I don't know. But that piece, and then it's just daily simple actions are what work for me. Daily simple actions. If I try to do an all or nothing, I'm going to do it all, and it's going to be great. And personally, that doesn't work for me. So I take daily actions. And then at the end of the day, as we talked in the beginning, I do feedback. I look at what worked, what didn't work, and what can I do in the future to make it better. But it's all happening in the present moment.
Yeah, well, you mentioned feedback early on in our conversation in regards to mentors, I think you said, you know, other people giving you feedback in terms of your own self-awareness and discovery. So how important is it to involve other people in this whole process and to get feedback?
Well, I always knew it was important to create people together. I knew it kind of by trial and error for me. But then there was a woman that wrote a book. Her name is Lynn McTaggart, and the book is called The Power of Eight, where she and several scientists and several individuals in major universities around the United States studied consciousness with regard to groups. And they started out with like groups of 1,000 people holding intention for someone to, or some minister in a government to make a different decision. And sure enough, the decisions were changing. They started documenting it. They took it down to 500 people. Same results were happening, 300, 200, 100. Down to eight, down to actually two. And what they found is that there is a principle at work where we are holding intention for each other. So if you're holding intention that I will change or heal or develop or grow or whatever it may be, and for me, and I'm holding that for you, what happens is exponentially everybody seems to grow, develop, change, whatever they're holding an intention for, build their business, grow their life, find a relationship, whatever. So there's a lot of new study around this in science and the social science right now. And so how important is group? It's extremely important, but it's extremely important to be in a group of like-minded individuals with like-minded goals that are there to not only grow themselves, but also to help you grow. That's the key right there.
Yeah, that's great advice. And then, of course, you know, the common goals and holding the intention for each other becomes another habit that propels you to your greatness.
It does propel us to greatness. It reminds us, you know, who we are at a deeper level. And there, I couldn't have said that better. You really did say that right. It does propel us to greatness when we hold in consciousness equality in one another, and we hold in consciousness the greatness within each other.
All right. Well, this is fascinating, Ken. I'm really enjoying this conversation, but I'm aware of the time, so I think it's a good point to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that will inspire our audience to go and do something awesome today, and perhaps even build on their daily habits of moving to greatness and changing things.
Well, we'll see. Let's see what happens.
Okay. So what do you think the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Innovative meditation, number one. Tune in, quiet your mind, still your mind, get into an environment that supports stillness, and be with yourself. Allow yourself to go within, ask some empowering questions, and watch your creativity soar.
Hmm. And you know, you've described that in great detail in the conversation today. So thanks for that. That's a really good one. I mean, I know that a lot of my guests have said various forms of that, you know, taking time out to be quiet and reflect and so on. So, yeah, great advice. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Is practice the discipline of trying to do something new that I have not done every day. So every single day, I did this for many years. I still practice it. I try to do something that's different. I ask questions, like even in for my wife, Judy. I open up my eyes in the morning. And I'm thinking, what can I do that I haven't done before to make her life even better? The other thing I like to do is I like to challenge myself with big goals, things that are much larger than myself and things that I've never been able to accomplish again. So when I do that, for example, would be becoming a triathlete. So I learned to swim, you know, early on in life, but then later I learned to bike and I learned to run. And then I met a guy that set my intention. I'd like to do triathletes. I met a guy that helped me to train. And eventually I got myself up into the World Triathlon event in Penticton, British Columbia, where 3,500 mm-hmm. other athletes were there. Top event in the world for triathletes. And I got top 10 in my event, which is Aquabike. And I ended up on the cover of Triathlete magazine, right? So big goal, right?
Yeah.
But that opened up crazy creativity because I had no idea where I was going or what I was doing. And the right people, the right places, the right things, the right equipment, everything shows up for you when you're open to that creativity flowing in your life.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I've certainly had experiences like that where I've challenged myself in that way as well, particularly, you know, that I relate to the sporting analogy on the bike. All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
Favorite resource, Google. my favorite resources are... I said the most innovative resource is nothing that most people, well, everybody has access to. An amazing woman in my life, which is my wife, Judy.
Yeah,
she helps me rethink things that I need to rethink. And she helps me to stay in my own integrity, stay in the line to generate joy and happiness and love in our family life and in our businesses. So. Yeah, I would say she's the greatest resource in my life, and next to God, next to my creator.
Yeah,
but I believe God speaks through her all the time.
Okay, yeah. It reminds me of a T-shirt I saw in a in a window once that said, "I don't need Google. My wife knows everything." So.
That's not what I was trying to say. It just took a lot of work to come out.
Yeah, but I don't think it captures all the other sentiments you mentioned there. All right, now what's the best way to keep a client on track?
Is for that client to help that client realize that within them is greatness, and to help them to unlock any blocks that they may have, any kind of stinking thinking that they have that holds them back from keeping commitments, from releasing anything that's disempowering in their life, and from letting go of thoughts that identifying thoughts that they're a procrastinator or they can't do it, or any kind of identity, false identity that person may have.
That's great. I like the stinking thinking.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Yeah, great. All right. Now, I think you've touched on this a little bit. What's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Oh, that's a really great one. And it's something that I know I did. What I did is I started to list out all of my strengths. And then after I did that, I would track my wins every day. So I track what good things that happen every single day. So I track, you know, who am I? What are my strengths? What is in there? And I notice my weaknesses. We need to if we're going to grow them. But no, most of the time, I want to grow my strengths, not necessarily focus on my weaknesses. And the but then I track, okay, wins, breakthroughs, successes every day, because that starts me to help me to understand who I am, what I'm about, where that greatness is, and to start to re-acknowledge that on a consistent basis. So that's what I do.
I love that. And I love the focus on the strengths and on the wins and breakthroughs, because I think, you know, we all focus a lot on the areas where we've kind of not achieved what we set out to achieve, or where we're not good at, and forget to celebrate the wins and breakthroughs.
Jürgen, that's part of our programming. Yeah. You know, in the United States, we're all critical thinkers. You're probably the same thing in your country.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, we're taught to think critically. What's not working? What can we do here? Why isn't that working? How come it's not working? If it's not working, what can we see? Maybe there's something else that's not working. And maybe there's something else over here that's not working. If it's like, whoa, wait a second. Well, let's focus on what is working and what can we do to improve that. Now, I'm not saying don't notice what's not working, because we need to, but we don't spend so much time on it. That's all.
That's right. You shift the balance a little bit. All right. Well, thanks, Ken. This has been really great. Now, you mentioned a link to your book before, so we'll repeat that again now. But where else can people find out more about you and perhaps even get in touch and say thank you for what you shared?
Yeah, well, I have a thank you so much for that. I have a radio show. It's called Voices of Courage. If you just Google Voices of Courage, it'll come right up. Or if you want to say to Alexa, Cortana, or Siri, play Voices of Courage podcast, that will come right up. And you can also find me on my website, Ken D, as in Donald, Ken D Foster, FOSTER.com, KenDFoster.com, or, of course, on the book site, you can find me over there, CourageToChange.us.
Yeah, great. Thanks. And as I said earlier, we'll have links to all of that in the show notes so people can click straight through. Now, what parting bit of advice would you like to leave our listener today?
You know, I've been around the planet for a while. I've done a lot of inner work. I've been very successful in many areas. I've failed miserably in areas that I had needed to fail miserably so I could learn who I was. I believe somehow sometimes we need to go to the darkness to know our own light. And so the advice I would say is that it's a journey to love. It's definitely a journey to love, journey into our own being. The yogis believe that we are Sat Chit Ananda, ever conscious, ever existing, and ever new bliss. So the journey for me has been into that ever new bliss, finding happiness in what I do. And I tell you, it all goes back to love. If we're doing things we don't love, we need to stop doing them or find a way to love what we don't love, or we need to just do something new that we do love. So I'll leave you with.
Great. All right. Well, finally, Ken, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, who would I like you to interview? I think I'd like you to interview my friend John Foley, who is the Blue Angel that I talked about earlier in the podcast. Mm. I think John would be a great guest for you. He speaks around our country about 100 times a year in live events, and I think he'd be a great guest for you.
Great. Well, we'll get you to introduce us to John and approach him and have a conversation with him as well. Looking forward to that too. So thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights so generously with us today, Ken. I've really enjoyed this. It's been a blast. And of course, you know, talking all things mindset and change and stepping into your own greatness. I hope that's inspiring to our listener as well. So thanks so much. And let's keep in touch.
Let's keep in touch, Jürgen. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and informative conversation with Ken and took something away from his episode, something that you can act on today. The very clear message for me from Ken's episode is that making change in yourself can propel you to change the world, and those changes in yourself can be built as a habit. Also, I love the idea of getting comfortable being uncomfortable. I'd love to know what you took away from Ken's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/KenDFoster. That is KENDFOSTER. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/KenDFoster. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Ken there, as well as links to his website, to his social media pages, to the Courage to Change Everything book, and the other resources we spoke about in our conversation today. Ken suggested we have a conversation with John Foley, expert in the how of high-performance teams and the author of Fearless Success, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So, John, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Ken Foster. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. But most importantly, it will enable you in less than 30 minutes to gain absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery, or our help with producing your very own podcast, even launching your very own podcast if you don't yet have one, then send me an email to jürgen@innovabiz.co and we can set up a quick call to have a short conversation and find out whether we're a good fit for one another. And tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Dr. Jeff Spencer of Cornerman Coaching and Ted Rubin, social media strategist. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.